Okay, everybody, welcome back to our Parsha class learning at Ohal. It's Monday, August the 21st. It is also Chaf Ches Elul, which is really going to be the focus of our shiur, not Elul, of. It's really the focus of our shiur, and that is that we are moving into Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Elul moves us into the time period of Teshuvah, Tefillah, Tzedakah, Ma'avir, and Esro Gzeir. That'll be the focus of our shiur. One comment on the English date, which is Monday, August the 21st. And sometimes I say, I don't know what the date is, especially we just moved. So I feel like I really don't know what the date is. Everything's upside down. Not really, but... So everyone's talking about the eclipse. So I had a question that I was so happy, I'm going to share it with you, was addressed by the OU Halacha Yomis this morning. I don't know if anyone signed up for the OU Halacha Yomit or Halacha Yomis every day, which is they send out a short question with an extremely relevant question with an interesting answer. They've gone through what does Kavana and Davening mean before Pesach, it was issues related to Kashering. Anyway, today's Halacha Yomis was, and this was a question that I had, should a bracha be recited on a solar eclipse? And if so, which bracha should be said? Okay? Shulchan Aruch lists many natural events for which a bracha of Ose Maise Bereshis is recited. Hashem continuously renews creation. It's not that in the past, one time, 5,777 years ago, almost 78 years ago, Hashem made the world. Ose Maise Bereshis. He's constantly renewing creation. So the Shulchan Aruch lists events such as that you would make a bracha on lightning, thunder, great winds. By the way, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. Okay. However, an eclipse is not included in the list. It is presumed, therefore, that because it's not included, a bracha is not recited. And Mamish was wondering, do we make a bracha on this? So the question of the Halacha Yomis is, why should this be? Isn't an eclipse an incredible and awe-inspiring event? It's different than thunder, than lightning. You know, so now you could say to me, it's not supposed to be a good sign, but the rainbow...
That's true.
The rainbow is a reminder that Hashem wanted to destroy us. He didn't. I saw the most beautiful rainbow for Shabbos. We were in Camp Kaylee. And you don't see rainbows like this in the city. Even when they're amazing, there's always houses partially blocking your view. You don't see the full horizon. We were staying in the guest quarters. You had to go up. So you were up a hill, and then, of course, you had to go upstairs. On the balcony, you saw the entire sky unobstructed. It was the most over-the-lake, breathtaking rainbow I've ever seen. And the white clouds were like behind it. You could see the light of the rainbow with the clouds behind it. It was unbelievable. So I made a bracha. So someone who was coming out of her room right next door, the guest goes, she said, I made. So you make a bracha. So however, what's the answer? Rav Chaim David Halevi, former of Beis Din of Tel Aviv Yafo, suggest an answer. Ose Maase Bereshis is only recited for natural events which are part of Maase Bereshis. So the way Hashem created the world is it runs through Teva. There's an order. The sun always shines during the day. The moon shines at night. That is part of the order of creation. Yes, Hashem is in charge of everything, obviously, but the way he runs the world is that there's Teva. Nobody here doubts that the sun is going to rise and set tomorrow. And nobody doubts that the stars shine at night. Okay, maybe because of light pollution. You can't see them, but they're shining. Ose Maase Bereshis is recited for natural events which are part of Maase Bereshis. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he put Me'oros Barakia HaShamayim for Mo'adim and La'osos, that's part of Teva, what we call Teva. This is the way the world runs. That's what you make a bracha of Ose Maase Bereshis on. Thunder is part of the way the world runs. A rainbow, as Kashti Nasati Be'anan, is part of Teva. An eclipse is obviously not, why is it such a talk of the town? Because it's not part of the natural order of creation, correct? So that's the answer of Rav Chaim David Halevi, former of Beis Din of Tel Aviv Yafo. The Gemara Masachas Sukkah states that Likuei Chama, which is translated as sun diminutions, is a response to man's sinful behavior. It is a punishment and an ominous sign. But I don't understand this. It's very brief. So are rainbows. Yeah, we make a bracha on rainbows. So the first answer proposed by Rav Chaim David Halevi seems to make more sense because it's part of Maase Bereshis. One second. It's a punishment ominous sign. Many commentaries assume Likuei Chama, which is mentioned in the Gemara, is talking about a solar eclipse. As such, Maase Bereshis cannot be recited. They are not part of the natural sequence and order of creation. I'll bring up one point that the Halacha Yomis asks but does not answer, which is very interesting. How can an eclipse be a response to human conduct when they occur at predictable points in time? Which is very interesting. Like the rainbow, the meteorologists do not tell you, the environmentalists, the weather forecast people don't tell you there's going to be a rainbow. You go outside and lo and behold, there's the rainbow and you make a bracha. So that's an interesting kasha. How can an eclipse be a response to human conduct when they occur at predictable points in time? So the Halacha Yomi says, Si Maharal Be'er Hagola 6 and Aruch Lanir. Okay. So I don't know. I don't have an answer. Right? This just came this morning. But I thought it was very, very interesting considering the time period. And also I myself had this question. So even though it's a amazing event, it's not part of Maisa Bereshis, which refers to Teva, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Therefore, we do not make a bracha. Wait, there was, you had a question, and then you, yeah.
Okay, so two things.
I might not be able to answer, or it's just a comment.
My answer to the rainbow issue is that it, even though, yes, it's a sign that Hashem was angry, it's also a sign that Hashem is Shomer Haftachaso. That
correct.
No matter what we do,
Zocher HaBris.
Hashem is Zocher HaBris, and that's right, and that is what we're making a bracha on. So that's my first answer.
Okay, very nice.
And the idea of the
does everyone understand we're not making a bracha on the rainbow, which is a foreshadowing that the world is corrupt. Hashem wants us to destroy us, but rather the bracha is on the fact that Hashem's rachamim supersedes din, which is so relevant for Elo and the yamim no ra, and that's really what we're davening for. Rachamim should supersede din, and therefore we're making a bracha on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers that he will not destroy the whole world again, okay?
So part two, the idea that the eclipse is a predictable thing, and it's an ominous sign of something that's not good. So my feeling about that is that human behavior is also predictable. It's predictable that there are people who are rishayim in the world. It's predictable people are going to fall. They're going to sin. They might do tshuva. They might sin again. There are people that are always going to be doing something bad. So even though this is a predictable event, it parallels or it mirrors the predictability of the human condition.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Very nice.
Okay, I think the reason why you don't say a bracha, is because if you look at the eclipse,
you could damage
yourself.
Okay, also very interesting.
Very nice.
Hashem doesn't want you to look and gaze at something. You make a bracha and you could damage yourself. For example, my son's camp sent home a email. Everyone, the pediatrician sent out an email. Young Israel Vladimir sent an email. Everyone's sending emails. So there's obviously a concern that people will not take the necessary precautions. And Khalida, there could be, like my son's camp was supposed to have their outdoor swim carnival today. They said, no boy in bold red letters, capitals, will be allowed outside between the hours of 1 to 4, even if they have the special glasses. They're not trusting little children. So that's a nice aura. Also, Kosh Baruch Hu does not want us to damage ourselves, so you're not going to go make a bracha and then burn your eyes. Okay, so we have Ma'ashem El Kachasho El Mimach. We have 100 opportunities a day. We have hundreds of opportunities to make a bracha on things that benefit us. Food benefits us. Hafrashas Chalza Mitzvah benefits us. Don't make a bracha on something that's going to cause you harm. Very nice. Okay, so just some ha'aras, very, very limited, just on the aspect of bracha as it was related by the Halacha Yomis. Okay. So what I want to begin with, and we'll see if we'll get to the parsha, I will try. It's not an accident that Sefer Devarim really coincides with this time period of introspection and teshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu is constantly reminding us to love Hashem your God, to go in His ways, to destroy the Avodah Zarah of the nations, to cling to Hashem over and over. And is that not the theme of what we are trying to do during these months? So here we go. It's the last month of the year, counting from Tishrei before Rosh Hashanah, the new year. It is the final chance to improve, to repair, to get it all in. And sometimes we might give up on ourselves. We might think, you know, I've been trying for 11 months to work on a certain midah or a certain aspect or a certain avoda. And try as I might, was a sneeze? Bless you. Try as I might, please make sure you signed in. Try as I might, it's difficult for me to change. Teshuva is one of the hardest avodas that a man can undertake. I don't know if it became an expression or he really said it, but Rav Yisrael Salanter said, Zatzal, that it is easier to learn through Shas than to change a single Midah. Teshuva is really changing ourselves. And we know that we have Teshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah, Ma'avirin Es Roa HaGzeira, that it is repentance, which we're going to talk more about. Tefillah, it is calling out for Hashem, from Hashem, for Hashem, from our place of pain. And Tzedakah, which is being not only monetarily helping our brothers and sisters, which is a mitzvah in last week's parsha. Nason titein lo ve'al yirei levavcha. You must give tzedakah. Your heart must not be hardened. It must not seem bad in your eyes. You have a mitzvah to give maaser. Ki yabecha evyon be'achad achicha. When there is a destitute person amongst your brothers, a Jew does not exist in a vacuum. We must help him. But I like to think of tzedakah in a more broader scope, and that is not just monetary assistance, which I started by saying it's a mitzvah d'oraisa and you gotta give the tzedakah. But we all know that it's not only what or how much you give, but the way or how you give. And like the Gemara says, it is more important to show your whites of your teeth to the pauper. What does that mean?
Smile.
Than to give him funds. So Pinchas explains, what does that mean? You have to give him funds. It says in last week's parasha, Nason titein lo, it says aser to aser. You got to give baiser and you got to give tzedakah and your heart should not be hardened. So Pinchas explains that on Rosh Hashanah, how much every person is going to get is predetermined. How much every person is going to get is going to be predetermined for all of us, including how much that pauper is going to make in handouts. So if you choose not to give him, says Rav Pinchas, $5, $10, $100, $1,000, whose loss is it? Yours. Why? He's not losing out. Because it was predetermined that he's going to make $50,000. So whether you give him the $1,000 or not, he's still making the money. Do you understand? So who's losing out? You're losing out. The next guy is going to make it up. Well, you lost. So it's not... Now, of course, you got an aveira and you didn't give the tzedakah. That's a different issue. So it's not only how much you give, because Hashem is going to take care of his part. That guy is going to get how much he's supposed to get. But how you give, not how much, but the manner in which is very much your responsibility and it's up to you. And if you give with a begrudging heart, the pasuk does not only say, nason titein lo, but rather, al yirei levavcha, it should not be hard for you. 1 second. Oh, lo ta'amet es levavcha. Achazak ve'amet libecha. Don't harden your heart. Don't close your hand. Open your hand. Lend to him what he is lacking. Because if you don't, he will call upon... Oh, it is here. Nason titein lo velo yirei levavcha. Your heart should not be bad. So in other words, the pasuk is not just... It's in last week's parasha. The Torah does not only command you to actually give, which you have to give, but the Torah actually tells you how to give with an open heart, the manner in which we must give. It's better to show the whites of your teeth, now we can understand the Gemara, than to give the money, because what Pinchas says, he's going to get the money. You lost the mitzvah. But how, when you give it to him, do you give it to him? Yoser mimasha bal habayis osa im ha'ani, ha'ani osa im ha'bal habayis. More than what you do for him, is what he does for you. He gives you the opportunity. You look at it as an opportunity to change your destiny. What does it mean, tzedakah ma'avirin esrol ha'gzeira? That charity erases the evil decree. The act of charity means that mitzvah stands in your defense. Rav Palm Zatzal teaches that when Rachel gave up the science to Leah, Rachel changed her destiny. She was not al pitava. I'm sorry. 1 second, please.
Amen.
Excuse me. Rav Pam, thank you for the water. Rav Pam Zatzal explains that according to Teva, Rachel was not able to have children and she should not have had children. In what merit was she able to have children? In giving her signs over to her sister. And in fact, what does the pasuk say before Rachel gives birth? In Perek Lamed of Bereishis, Vayizkar Elokim es Rachel, Vayiftach es Rachma. Who remembered Rachel? Not Midas Hashem of Rachamim. It would be natural. You'd expect to say that Rachamim remembered God. What does it mean, Din remembered? Al pi Din. Why was she remembered by Din? Because by means strict justice, letter of the law. By letter of the law, she was not worthy to have Yosef or Binyamin, but she gave the sign Shemaswa Simanaha La'achosaha. Says Rav Pam, she changed her destiny. What's Ma'avir in Israel Gzeira? You change the decree. You change, Chalila, what's supposed to happen to us. I'm sorry. So when we give tzedakah, we need to keep in mind that in Parshas Re'eh, we are not only commanded to give, but Dafka, the Torah tells us how to give. Because in doing for somebody else, we are actually saving yourself. You're saving your very own self. So, Avir Nisro HaGzeira. You know, it's possible, even when you're not... Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. Siskel Mitzos. So far, I'm okay. If I need, I'll take. Thank you. If I need, I'll take. Thank you. What did I just want to say? Oh, it's possible to also be a generous person. Let's say you're in a situation where a person does not need the financial assistance. It's still possible to be a charitable person with your time, with your emotion, with your smile, with your good morning. It's not something that should be underestimated. You can build up an entire person with your acts of kindness. And that is how I think of tzedakah, that it can't only be that financial assistance is mavir roa hagzeira. But, you know, for some people, financial assistance is very easy. Everyone is obligated to give meiser. But it's how we treat other people. And what's interesting is teshuva tefillah tzedakah. Teshuva is ben adam la'atzmo, tefillah, between man and yourself. We said, Rav Shasandra said, it's easier to learn through Shas, could you imagine, than to change a single midah. Teshuva's in here, between me and myself. Tefillah is ben adam lamakom, between me and God. Mima'amakim karasicha Hashem. Hashem shema bekoli. And finally, tzedakah is bein adam lechaveiro. So when we talk about being ma'avir roh hagzeira, what an avoda. We have to change all three areas or all three realms of our avodas Hashem. It's not only bein adam lemakom that has to be improved, tefillah. It's not only bein adam lechaveiro, tzedakah. It also includes teshuva. It's changing the person that I am. Just, we're going to be focusing more on teshuva, but just a couple words on tefillah because really, it needs its own whole course, but we're going to start saying the David Hashem Ori V'Yishi Mimi Ira Hashem Azchaye Mimi Evchad. When Hashem is your strength and your light and your salvation, before whom are you afraid? Acha Sha'alti Me'Eis Hashem. We want one thing, and that is Shifti Be'Eis Hashem Kol Yimei Chaya. You want to dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of your life. Rav Shem Shemfal Hirsch on his commentary on Tehillim, quoting from Kapitel Chav Zayin here, which we're going to say from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Simchas Torah, if that's your minhag. Shem Shofal Hirsch points out something beautiful. Acha sha'alti me'eis Hashem osa avakish. What is the one thing that you ask from God, says King David? Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai, lachazos benoam Hashem. I want to dwell in the house of God. I want to behold His countenance. I want to visit in His sanctuary. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, says so beautifully, this is the one thing David HaMelech asked, to dwell in the house of God. He says, David HaMelech built a city. We can go to Ir David today. He built, established a government. He fought wars. He conquered territory. This is Acha Sha'alti. That's what he was doing. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says, whatever a person is doing in life, it should be that he is with God, as if proverbially he is in the sanctuary of Hashem, even when he is fighting wars, even when he is fighting back the enemy, even when he is building a city, it's establishing a government. So it's not that you're physically in the house of Hashem all the days of your life. We're not always in the yeshiva. We're not always in the base knesses. We're not always in the base medrash. We have to go many other places. We have to go on errands. We have to go to the bank. We have to go to the grocery. We go for leisure trips. We take walks. We go to the kitchen. That's not beveis Hashem. But you have to make that beis Hashem. Rav Shem Shofal Hirsch says something beautiful. When a person dwells in the house of Hashem all the days of their life, the proverbial house of Hashem, even when you're not literally within the dalet amos of the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis Medrash, but you take Hashem's mishkan with you wherever you are, what is shifti beveis Hashem? Shifty, it's his commentary on Tehillim, which never occurred to me until I prepared this, and I think it's so beautiful. It's Shavat. What does Shavat mean? To stop. And what do we say Shabbos means?
Shavat mikol melachto.
What?
Shavat mikol melachto.
So what does Shavat mean?
To stop.
What do we say about Shabbos? If you ask a kid, why do we keep Shabbos? Hashem worked and rested. So we work and we rest. So Rav Shem Shervalhurst points out, shifty means, if you're always with Hashem, you will have a calmness in your life. That's Shabbat. You will have a sense of rest or peace. Why? How do we feel when Shabbos comes in? My father-in-law says, you feel Shabbos should be like an ear miklat. Such a beautiful, you get to run away from the stressors of the week. They have Shabbos. It's your mikkah. But what does Shavat mean? To rest. To cease being harried. To stop being nervous. To take a break from everything. What is shifty? We're going to start saying this tomorrow. All my years, it never occurred to me. It's so beautiful. So I read my first. What does it mean, shifty, beveis Hashem? You will be calm. You will be at rest because you're always in the house of Hashem. Being with Hashem brings a clarity, an amunah, a tranquility of the soul that cannot be attained through other means. That is shifty. That's Shavat. That's to be with Hashem. And that's really what tefillah brings us. A deep connection to the Ribono Shel Olam that cannot be accessed in another way. The Ragachavar Gaon says that when you learn Torah, Hashem's talking to you. But when you daven, you're talking to Hashem. Karav Hashem l'chol korav l'chol asher yikru'uhu v'ames. So Hashem is close to all those who call out Him, all those who call out Him in truth. So I want to tell you what happened to us. We were leaving Camp Kaylee. We were first going to leave Sunday morning, let the kids enjoy Motzei Shabbos also, but we moved into our new home Wednesday night. On Friday, 2 o'clock, we packed up to go to Kaylee. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So we said, we have to leave Motzei Shabbos. I can't get home at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I need to wake up Sunday and have the whole day to try and, you know, make some Seder. So we just pulled out of camp. We had just pulled out of camp. And it was myself and my husband and three of our children in the car, Kanainer, and we were giving somebody else a ride. A staff member was leaving early. So there were six of us in the van. And you know what the country roads are like. I mean, everyone's fine. I'm here to tell the tale. But I'm going to try and explain the terror of the moment, even though you can't feel it. One second. So I was writing myself a note. Okay. So the roads are dark. And it's 10:30, and we had just pulled out of camp. And, you know, it's two-lane, one lane for us, one lane for the other lane, forest all on the side. And we weren't even going fast because it's pitch black and the roads are winding. How fast could you really go? My husband was driving, and we're maybe going 35 miles an hour. We're not driving quickly. And to the left, out of my husband's window, what do we see in the forest?
Deer.
Two deer. And after I Googled it, and it said when there's a deer, you're going to have milliseconds to react. Milliseconds. So the deer is to my husband's left. And I'm telling the stories if there's time. When it's happening, there was no time. I can't describe how fast this is going. So the deer is here, and it was a big deer.
Wow.
We're here, the deer is here, and what happens? The deer bolts out into the roadway. And my husband said he didn't have time to be nervous because it was so fast he didn't even realize what was happening. I was very nervous. My heart was like coming out of my chest. And I saw what was happening. I thought, that deer is about to go through our windshield. I just gave 3 shiurim. That's going to be the last thing I'm remembered for. And we're all finished. That's about to go through the windshield. No, I can't tell you where my heart was. And I screamed, Hashem! I just screamed. It was so instinctive. I don't know how we missed the deer. I can't describe to you where the deer was and where the car was. So my family says they think we did hit the deer. The front passenger right side hit the rear of the deer. But the deer bounded. Even if we did hit it, there was no blood. My husband actually parked to get out of the car. He's like, I have to check the car. I need to see if anything happened to the car. You're never supposed to get out on the roadway. It's too late. It was happening in seconds. But it was long enough for me to see that our life is hanging in the balance at every second. There is the potential of a gezeira over us at every millisecond of our lives. And he got out the car, so we saw the deer bound to the right, continuing to the forest. There was no blood on the car. I don't know how we missed the deer. I don't know how it did not strike the front of the car, but I called out in that moment. It was such an instinctive cry. I just screamed at Hashem, and we missed the deer. And I'm not saying that's why we were saved, but just it hit me after that a person always has to realize that's really how life is all the time. That is how life is when we cross the street. Let's get real. That is how it is. That's how life is when we go to sleep. The Pasuk says that every night, it's in Parashat Mishpatim, that if someone lends you a garment as a collateral, you need to give it back to him every morning. And every night you take it and give it back to him every morning. So what, is this a game? Like, you know, he owes you money, so you take his garment. So what is it, charades? Back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. Such a powerful Rashi. So Rashi says there, you give your neshama to Hashem every night. And you're really chayav, you're really owing. And yet even though you owe in the morning, what happens to your neshama? Somehow you wake up and you have it again. It was such a startling, really terrifying moment. But the realization of where our lives are and who we're really calling out upon. Mima'amakim karasicha Hashem. Hashem shema bakoli tiyeles necha kashuvos lakol tachanunai. From the depths I call to Hashem. When Mordechai Kamenetsky tells over a story, it was in Europe, in the days before we went to the hospital to give birth. Baron Rothschild's wife was having a baby in the back room, and she went into labor, so they called the doctor to come, and the doctor went to check on her. And he said, she's not ready, and he comes to the front room, and he says to Baron Rothschild, let's play cards. Okay, the doctor says, you listen, so they played cards. And she calls out, mama, mama. So the doctor goes to check on her. The doctor says, she's not ready. Let's play cards. She calls out, help, help. 20 minutes later, the doctor says, she's not ready. Half hour later, she screams out, my God, my God. Mon Dieu, however you say it in French.
Mon Dieu.
And the doctor throws down his cards and he says, now she's ready. And he goes to deliver the baby. So we have to try and put ourselves as much as possible into the situation where we should feel the pachad of this time. If that's the lesson I took away from the deer, besides the fact that I mamish screamed, my husband was on the phone with someone, the person we were giving a ride home to, we were on the phone with her parents trying to figure out where we were going to drive off. My husband's like, I have to call you back. This is after I screamed. Besides the fact that we always have to call it in the name of Hashem, this is a awesome time, but it is also and should be an awe-inspiring time. Someone came over to me from a different community and she said she's preparing a shiur for the women of her community. She said, you know, there's so much focus on the cooking and the this and the food and the that. There is, it should be a beautiful Yom Tov, but she said she wants to try to help the women feel the pachad of the time. Not that we should walk around shaking in our boots. So we saw Salanter met a certain yid during Elul and he said to him, good morning. I may have said last week, I don't remember. The man just muttered, smutna punim. So Rav Yisrael Salanter said, what's wrong? So the man said, it's Elul, I'm doing tshuva. So Rav Yisrael Salanter said, you're doing tshuva, so I have to suffer? Okay? So it's an awe-inspiring time, and we have to make sure to try as much as possible to feel the pachad of the time. It's Coronation Day. Rav Salavitcher calls Rosh Hashanah Coronation Day. Rav Elimelech Biderman tells over a story. Biderman brings down the following story. I believe it was with Napoleon that I'm pretty sure it's with Napoleon that they were conquering the towns and then invading, the enemy came, and somebody hid Napoleon in his, it could be that it wasn't Napoleon, you understand? But I think it was. And they hid him under mattresses in the back room, and Napoleon was so scared, and the man hid him in his house, and he was really terrified, and they heard the enemies in the home slashing things, and at the last minute, like we didn't hit the deer, at the last minute, the enemy leaves. So there was a great Yeshua for Napoleon. So he goes back to the palace. So he wants to honor this man, the homeowner who hid him in the back of his home. So he calls him to the palace. So he says to him, how did you feel? Napoleon says, you have one request. So what's the one request? The man says, you know, I just want to know, Your Honor, how did you feel when you were under those mattresses and the enemy was in the house and they were right almost at you? How did I feel when there was with you? I said, I'm going to try and help you feel what I felt, even though you can't really feel what I felt. So Napoleon said, the chutzpah. I'm sure Napoleon didn't say the chutzpah. The audacity. The one thing he wants, well, I would have given him here. I would have given him gold and silver and jewels and whatever he wants and great honor. And the one thing he wants to know is how I felt. How could he ask me that? Take him to the dungeon tomorrow, we're going to hang him. So he spends the whole night in the dungeon and the man is terrified. They can't believe they're going to hang him. What did he do? He said, how do you feel? He got one request that here he is spending the night in the dungeon. He's terrified the whole night. In the morning they come to take him out to the gallows and they put him on the stool and the noose is on his neck and the man is shaking in his boots more than that and he sees death flashing before his eyes and in the very last second as they're about to kick off the stand from under him, the king gives an order and he says, stop the execution, let the man come down. The man comes down and he's fainting and he's sweating and he's crying and he says, Emperor, merciful Emperor, what did you do to me? Napoleon says, you asked me how I felt when they were in the home looking for me. So we should try as much as not to feel that Chalila Kosh Baruch Hu is coming after us like that. That's not what I mean. But it is a serious time and it is a time of Pachad, and it is a time of Hamelach, and it is a time of judgment. It's called Yom Hadin for a reason. And we should try and feel as much as possible that we are in the court of the king, Sefer HaChaim, the Sefer HaMaves, Pesuchin Lefanav. Now I want to move to Teshuvah. Okay, so a little bit on Tefillah. What did I say about Tefillah? The deer story is really my story of Tefillah. What was I doing at that second? I wasn't reading it a sitter. I didn't have time for Tehillim. Right. I didn't have time for anything. This huge deer. My son's like, did you see the antlers? I said, Ari, there were no antlers. The one who wasn't with us. I texted him. I'm like, I can't describe what happened. A tefillah is mima makim karsich Hashem. That the moment of awareness, just call out to Hashem. And also we spoke about shifti b'veis Hashem. We're going to start saying kapitul chav zayin. Shifti means shavat, says Rav Hirsch. It's so beautiful. When you're always with Hashem, you have a sense of calmness. We started out, so tefillah is bein us, bein Adam, lamakom. Raga Chavar says, when you daven, you're talking to Hashem. Torah, he's talking to you. Tefillah, you talk to him. Tzedakah, we spoke about not only the mitzvah to give, but very important, the spirit. There's din and there's lifnim meshuras adin. There's the law and there's the letter of the law. And it's something we can truly apply at all times of our life, not even with only with monetary assistance, but with kindness of spirit. And now I want to talk a little bit about teshuvah. And what really is teshuvah? And more than what is teshuvah, what does it do to us? Why is it accepted? There are different stages of repentance, according to the Rambam. It's an actual halachic process. It's not some nice idea that we say, I'm going to do teshuva, I'm doing teshuva. What does that even mean, I'm doing teshuva? Right? I'm baking a cake, I'm going to the library, I'm doing teshuva. There is charata. You have to actually regret what you did. The first stage, therefore, in my words, in teshuva, is self-awareness. That precedes charata, actually. If you don't know you did anything wrong, you don't regret that you did something wrong. Why? You don't even know you did anything wrong. Sometimes isur nasa keheter. Sometimes once upon a time, a long time ago, you knew it was wrong, but somewhere along the way you became so used to it that now you think it's permissible. Okay? So the first stage, even before charata, which is regret, is to be aware that there's something to regret. If I'm not aware that there's anything to regret, I can never even get to the stage of charata. The first stage here for an avodas Hashem is really self-awareness. Awareness of Hashem, and awareness of who you are, and what you are doing, and where you stand vis-a-vis the Ribbon Sholem, which is Rahman al-Tzan, in such a good place always. After you're self-aware enough to regret what you did, right? So we're adding self-awareness before charata, which means regret. Then there's azivat hachet, or azivas hachet. You have to leave the sin. It's not enough to regret that you did something. And you know, this is a very astute stage, because the truth is, sometimes you do regret what you do, and yet you can't leave the action. Just because you regret something does not mean you stop doing it. Sometimes we do things that we know are wrong. So we're self-aware, we have charata, and yet we keep at it. So Aziva Sachei is a very big leap. What's wrong? Aziva Sachei is a very big leap. It's not enough to know and to regret, but now you have to say, I'm going to try and leave this sin. Vidui is what we're all going to say. There's the stage of oral confession to confess your sin. And finally, Kabbalah al Ha'asir, or Kabbalah al Ha'atir. I have to agree to not do it again. There is a fifth condition for Bein Adam l'Chaveiro, and that's making amends. Asking a friend, I was looking through Hilchas Tshuva of the Rambam last night when I was preparing for Shir. And the Rambam says you have to ask your friend for forgiveness. And if he doesn't forgive you, you have to take people with you. And you have to ask him for forgiveness. And you have to do it over and over and over again. If it's your Rebbe, the Rambam says, you have to do it 1,000 times. So there's this very strong inyan that if you wrong somebody, because the Mishnah says, last Mishnah, Maseches Yuma, that Yom Kippur is not mechaper on mitzvos bein Adam lechaveru that you transgressed until you ask forgiveness for your friend. And the Rambam says it's a process that you have to do over and over again. And it's very frightening, because just because someone says, I forgive you, the grudge, even though they're over and don't bear a grudge, we're talking about human nature, nobody wants anyone to have tainus against them. When you come and they open up the book of Chaim and Rachman Tzan Noleinu Mavis before the Ribono Shel Olam, nobody wants there to be the tainus by so-and-so. You don't want. Everyone should forgive you. It's a very, very hard stage. But the Rambam says a person should not be an achzari. He should not be cruel and not forgive. We have to work on it. We have to work on not only asking for forgiveness, we have to work on forgiving. Okay? What really is teshuva? Very interesting. When I spoke in Camp Kaylee, three different speeches. But the afternoon, I really spoke on tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. And I asked the girls, what is teshuva? So they were saying all different things. One said repentance. I said, yes, it's translated as repentance. One said confession. I don't remember what they were saying. I said, but what's teshuva? One said, Hashem is Baal Rachamim, and He forgives you. But why should Hashem forgive me? I said to her, there are rules. I said, you know, if you have your at-bat and you got three strikes, the umpire could be the most forgiving person. He could be a very nice family man. He could be your best friend. But you had three strikes. And there are rules to the game. And we don't just do whatever we want here. Yes, Hashem has Rachmanis, but I have a tafkid. And my tafkid is follow the rules. So my at-bat's over. You could send him flowers. You could make a mistake. You could do whatever you want. But there are rules to the game, and you got three strikes, and everyone saw that you got three strikes. So, in the record book, you're out. So what really is teshuva? Is it return to God? Shav, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you will return to God. Teshuva, and this is key to understanding, why does Hashem take us back? Yes, because He's a Baal Rachman. Yes, because He gives us the gift of repentance. What does it mean when you repent? You change who you are. So Hashem is taking a new person. And this is key. It's the next batter in the lineup. And I'm going to quote you the Rambam. The Rambam says you get a new name when you do teshuva. What does that mean? You're not Hernandez anymore, you're Reyes. It's a new batter. So of course Hashem gives you a new chance, because you're not the same person. The essence of teshuva is the power that man has to remake who he is.
To better himself.
That's teshuva. What?
To better himself.
To change himself. Yes, for the better. But you're actually a new person. So let me quote you from Rambam Hilchos Teshuva. Parak Aleph Halacha Aleph. Ezehi teshuva gemura. What is complete repentance? So what is complete repentance, by the way? So the Rambam's about to explain. I'll tell you it outside, then I'll tell you his lashon. Real repentance is you're in the same situation and you don't do the sin again. That's real repentance. Because why? You could have harata, ladies. We explained all these stages. You could have aziva sachei. You could have vidui. You could have kabbalah ala asid. But you don't really know if you repented till you're at a wedding again, sitting next to the same person. By the way, sometimes people tend to sit me with a certain person. It's very interesting. I like her very much. When do we get to see each other? when we're at a wedding. So I'm at a wedding with the same person at the sands, and that person we spoke about last time walks into the room. The Rambam says you have to be in the same place. So I'm in the same place. I'm at a wedding, same situation. I'm with the same person. And Mrs. X walks into the room, and I don't say anything about her. And last time I did. That's really teshuva gemura. Because it's nice to say I'm never going to do it again, but what happens when you're in this situation? Are you a new person? Are you a changed person? Are you a new at bat? Are you the next guy in the lineup? Or are you the one who struck out 3 times? What was Yosef HaTzadik doing? I know I'm still going to quote the Rambam. What is Yosef HaTzadik doing when he put his brothers through the ringer? He isn't Yosef compassionate? Isn't God compassionate? Isn't the umpire, the Alpha of Dallas, a nice guy? What was Yosef HaTzadik doing? Why didn't he just say when they came down, you know who I am? Ani Yosef HaOravichai, Ani Yosef HaShem Mechartem Osi Mitzrayma. Why did he wait till 2+ years later? He puts them through the ringer. He says they're spies. Everybody goes to jail. He keeps Shimon. He sends them back. Don't come back without Binyamin. Finally, he sees Binyamin. He plants the goblet. He's keeping Binyamin as a slave. He's trying to drive them crazy. This is Yosef, whose last name is Tzadik. There's 2 people have the last name Tzadik. Yosef and Mordechai. That's Yosef. If you read the level of the pshat, he's a cruel man. Who is it just reading? Of Shimshon Pinchas. He says how Torah so ennobles us. He says a great line. He says, according to, you know, the way of the world, the psychology of the Umos HaOlam, we shouldn't teach our children Torah. He says, what are we teaching them? The story of Yosef and the brothers. He says, you think it's good for child psychology to teach the children what happened between Yosef and the brothers? It's very cute. What's Yosef doing? When he sets them up for the same situation, it's the same son, not a half-brother, it's a full brother. The father is Yaakov, the mother is Rachel, he's about to go into slavery. The brothers are going to go back to father without their brother, but this is different. He wants to see, have they undergone teshuva gemura? You can only test if you have fully repented when you're in the exact same, as close as can be. Listen, it can't be the exact same matzav. The date's going to be different. Okay? Something's going to be different. As close as can be to that matzav. And what? Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Vayomer Elav Bi Adoni. And Yehuda goes close with strength. And Rashi says there, Yehuda said, Ki kamocha kiparo, I'm going to kill you if you take my brother. At that moment, Yosef saw there was real teshuva. They were not going to lose Binyamin. Nafsho k'shura b'nafsho. Our father will die if we don't come home with this boy. There's no way we're going home without him. At that moment, Yosef understood they had repented. And therefore, he was able to say, Ani Yosef asher mechartem osi mitzrayma, Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. At that moment, he was able to say, let's reconcile. This is who I am. Only because they did teshuva gemura. They're like new people. So the Rambam says, Ezo hi teshuva gemura. What's complete teshuva? Which I just explained to you outside, and we brought an example from the Torah. Zo sheba liyado davar sha'aver bo. The matter that you already transgressed comes to your hand. The efshar biyado la'asoso. It's possible to do it again. So you're in a situation where the matter comes down, it's possible to do it again. Ufarash, velo asa. You separate and you don't do it. Mipnei ha-teshuva. Why? Because of repentance. Rambam says something very important. You don't not do it. Lo mipnei ha-yira. You don't transgress because you're afraid of God at this moment. Lo mi-yira. Not because you're afraid. Not because of afraid of God. That's wrong to say. Not because of punishment. You don't have yiras ha'onesh. You're not afraid of the consequences. V'lo michshalon koach. And you don't do the sin because you're a weak person. You dafka do it because of why? You want to repent. You're doing teshuva. Ketzad. What's the example the Rambam gives? Harei sheba al isha ba'aveira. A man was intimate with a woman and it was forbidden. This man and this woman were not allowed to be together. V'la achar zman u'la achar zman nityached ima. After some time, the man and the woman find themselves together again. V'hu omeid ba'ahavaso. Look at this. How smart is the Rambam? The Rambam doesn't say he doesn't like her anymore. He still desires her. He still wants her. He has feelings of love for this woman. Ubekolach gufo. the strength of his body. Ubimedina Sha'avarbo, and he's in the same city. So they're in the same city, in the same hotel, the same man, the same woman, and something happens, and everyone clears the room, and it's him and her. They're at a meeting, it was a yichud, everybody clears the room, and it's him and her. And he still loves her, and he still wants her. And he separates her. Velo avar. And they do not avar, avera, they don't transgress. Zehu ba'al teshuva gemura. This is a man who is completely repented. Because otherwise, how does Hashem know you're really sincere? So we have to understand that when you're in a situation of a nisayon, where you're trying to repent, by the way, it doesn't mean go put yourself into a nisayon if you think you're not strong enough to withstand to prove your teshuva. If you're not strong enough to withstand, don't go put yourself into the same matzav. Don't sit at that table with that person if you know the topic of conversation is going to turn to Mrs. X. Mingle around the room. Don't be alone with her. Don't put yourself in the situation. But let's say it happens and you don't do it. That's teshuva gemura. V'im loshav. Let's say he never repented. Ela b'yemei zekunaso. Not until the end of his life. He's an old man now. He never repented from the sin. Now he's an old man. So what's the situation now when he's a zaken? Be'esha I efshar lo la'asos ma shahaya osa. Can he do teshuva gemura? Do you understand the matzav? He's now coming on in years, and he can never potentially do the same action. So how could he prove teshuva gemura? Because he can't be with that woman anymore the way he was before. It's interesting. Afal pi she'eina teshuva me'ula. Even though it's not the perfect, complete, absolute teshuva, me'ayla hilo. It is still a me'ayla. It is still a, how do you translate me'ayla? Me'ula hilo. An advantage. It's a mila. An advantage is
a virtue,
an advantage. To his credit. It's still to his credit. Ubal teshuvahu. And he is still considered a baal teshuva. Afilu avar kol yamav. Even if all his days he was over. Va'asa teshuva biyom misaso. And he didn't do teshuva till the day of his death. Umeis b'teshuvaso, but he dies. And he saved it till the very last minute of 120 years. He's been doing the whole thing the whole time. But at the last moment, he really does real teshuva. B'nei Korach lo meisu, they had to hear hooray teshuva. They didn't go down to Gehenna. There is tremendous, see how caring, forgiving, loving, Baal Rachamim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Any situation, any way our actions, our thoughts can be interpreted as teshuva. He wants to give it credit. Credit. Umeis b'teshuvaso, he dies in his teshuva. Kol avanosav nim chalin. All of his sins are forgiven. The Gemara tells us the story of Elazar ben Dordia. You know the story of Elazar ben Dordia? There was not a zona in the world with whom he did not sin. He went sort of a nice zona across the water. He took out dinar, a purse of dinar gold coins. He traveled seven rivers to be with the zona. Interesting pastime. He's constantly sinning. And at the moment of the relations, I don't want to say intimacy, I don't think we would call it that. At the moment of relation, the zona said to him, "Ein mekablim Elazar ben Dordia b'teshuva." At the moment of the act, the zona said, "The one who we traveled seven rivers with the dinar golden coins to be with her, ein mekablim Elazar ben Dordia b'teshuva. Your repentance will not be accepted." And you know, sometimes that's all, Elazar ben Dordia is all of us. You understand? He's all of us. We also go to great lengths to do things we should not do. I'm sorry, maybe not you and me. It's human nature. Listen, everybody goes like this on Yom Kippur, okay? At that moment, he realized what his life was. You know, sometimes someone tells us something that just wakes us up. Sometimes we don't have the self-awareness. And something somebody says gives us the self-awareness. So he went and he sat down and he cried and he began to cry. And he said, "Shamayim va'aretz bikshu alai rachamim." Heaven and earth ask for rachamim for me. And they said, we can't ask for rachamim for you, we have to ask for rachamim for ourselves. So he said, Yareach v'kochavim, the heavenly bodies, ask for rachamim for me. We can't ask for rachamim for you, we have to ask for rachamim ourselves. The components of nature were not willing to ask for rachamim, they need their own rachamim. So finally he understood the matter depends only on me. And the Gemara says he put his head between his knees and he cried until his soul left him. And a bas kol came out and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Elazar ben Durda. How fortunate are you, Rabbi Elazar ben Durda, you are Muzman Nechaya Olam Haba. So the Gemara says, not only is his teshuva accepted, but he's even called Rabbi. What does he teach us? It's never too late. It's the last month of the year. And the resolve, the kavana I wanted to have, the benching inside, the patience with my children, the not speaking negative words, the things that I failed over and over and over and over and over again. Nevertheless, if he did teshuva, even beyond misaso, that's Elazar ben Durda, umes b'teshuvaso, kol avo nosof nim chalin. You have the power to be forgiven until the end of days. I want to continue, okay? So that's Rambam Hilchos Teshuva, yikes. Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. So I said, why does Hashem forgive us? We said we're changing who we are. And I gave you the mashal and the nimshal of the batter at bat. So there's really, you don't get a new at bat if you have three strikes. The one sport I followed when I was a kid was baseball. You don't get it, that's it. So why does Hashem forgive us? Because we're new. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuva, Parak Aleph, Halacha Dalet, Midarchei HaTeshuva. What is the way of Teshuva? Lihiyot Hashav Tzoeik Tamid Lifnei Hashem. First of all, the Rambam puts in here a component of Tzoeik Tamid Lifnei Hashem. Tefillah. You have to call out constantly, Tamid, my brother Tami. What does Tamid mean? Who remembers? Shavias Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, Lenegdi Samid. What does Tamid mean?
Always.
Eternally.
Eternally.
Always and?
Consistent.
Ah, did you say consistent? Baruch Hashem. Always and consistent. Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. Hashem should always be before you. That is Achasha Alti Meis Hashem Osa Valkish. What else does Tamid mean to my brother Tami? Karban Tamid was not brought. Always. It was keves echad baboker and keves b'tzarayim. It was brought twice a day. That's not always. That's morning and afternoon. What's tamid? Consistent. You must be consistent, my brother told me, in your avodas Hashem. Not only God is before you always, which he should be, but you also have to be consistent in your avodas Hashem. So what does the Rambam say? Midarche teshuva liyot hashav tzoeik tamid. Be consistent in your quest for repentance. Don't give up. Consistently desire to strive to improve. Bivchi, what should you do? Bivchi, bocha. Should be crying. Uvitachanunim, with supplication. Ve'etchanan al Hashem ba'esei leimor, v'tachanunim. Implore God repeatedly. Ve'oset tzedakah kefi kocha. Why is this such a beautiful halacha? How do we start off the shir? Teshuvah, tefillah, tzedakah. What does the Rambam pull together for us here? He adds, in, when you're in the middle of doing teshuva, what do you have to be doing? So eik bivchi v'tachanunim tamid. You have to daven. What else do you have to do? What's part of teshuva? Va'osa tzedaka kefi kocho. You have to give charity according to your means. So if teshuva is bein adam la'atzmo, what we're understanding based on this halacha of the Rambam is change bein adam la'atzmo cannot occur in a vacuum. You must change bein adam la'makom, so eik tamid bivchi v'sachnunim ifnei Hashem, and you must change bein adam la'chaveiro, no saying tzedaka kefi kocho, and those influence and shape who you are on the inside. Umisrachik harbe min hadavar shachata bo. You have to say, what does it mean, misrachik harbe? Stay far, far away from that which you say can sin. Stay far, far away. So what did we say? If you know, ladies, it's such a practical application. If you know when you sit with a particular person that the conversation inevitably turns, this is a very practical, important, halacha lemaisa. If you know that when you sit with a specific person or a group of women, the conversation turns to talk about her neighbor who she hates, don't sit with her. You could be nice. You could smile. Do not go out of your way to... I'm not saying you should be rude, sir. Please don't misunderstand me. But don't make a lunch day with this person who you know you can't control yourself when you're sitting there. I still remember, this goes back years ago. A certain person told me, she was making a joke, Nebuch, that in a certain place by the pool in the summer, one of the women there said, you know, we really shouldn't talk Lashon Hara. And one of the other women by the pool said, well, then what are we going to talk about? Hysterical. So the Rambam says, Misrachei karbei mina davar shechatavo. You have to be aware to not put yourself in the situation. Listen, if God puts you into the situation to prove you've done teshuva gemura, go, good, fine. But a recovering alcoholic who's been sober for 2 weeks should not put himself into the bar to say, I totally repented. And here comes the next words. So first of all, Darche teshuva, Lios hashav tzoeik tamid lifnei Hashem b'vchiyu b'sachnunim. Which aspect is that? What is involved in teshuva? Prayer. The osa tzedaka kefi kocho, what is that? Charity. So the prayer is ben adam l'makom, the charity is ben adam l'chaveru, they will influence you internally, because you'll be a better person. If you daven and you give tzedaka, you should have an awareness of your chelak alokai mimal. You want to improve, what's in here? And then, misrachei karbei min hadavar shechata, but you got to stay far, far away. And I bolded it in my own notes. Umishana shemo. You're the next batter. You are not Hernandez anymore. You're not that guy. So of course you got another at bat. Your name changed. The back of your jersey says somebody else. This is the Rambam. Umishana shmo. His name is changed. Klomar ani acher. Ve'eini oso ha'isha asa oso n'hamasim. Ribo sh'olam, I'm not the guy who struck out 3 times. I'm the next in the lineup. This is an unbelievably powerful line. U'mishana shmo. Klomar, ani acher. Eini oso ha'ish sh'asa oso n'hamasim. I'm not that guy. So why should God forgive us? Yes, he's a Baal Rachamim. Yes, he's a Tova Meitiv. Yes, he's Mechalish Betuva B'chol Yom Tamid. Yes, he gives me back my neshama every morning. Yes, my neshama, while it's in me, I sin. But why should he take me back? There are rules. You have to play according to the rules. Because you're a new person. That's teshuva. U'mishana ma'asav kulan letova. You change your deeds entirely for the good. V'lederach yishara. What does that mean? Straight path. Sham Shemfal Hirsch says, man, a Jew must be an Adam Kasher and an Adam Yashar. You have to be kosher with God, Adam Kasher. And you have to be Yashar with fellow men. And once again, by the way, the incorporation of Bein Adam Lamakom with Bein Adam. You have to be an Adam Kasher and an Adam Yashar. And then the Rambam says you should put yourself into Galus. V'golo mimim komo, shagalus mechaperes. You read Rav Zisha and his brother. The name escapes me. As soon as I stop sharing, I'm going to remember. Rav Elimelech of Lezhinsk and Rav Zusha Me'anapoli would travel, thank you very much, would travel from town to town as a sort of self-imposed exile. This is not something we're going to take upon ourselves, but the Rambam says, Galus Mechaperis Avon. Galus, I'm just finishing this halacha, okay? Exile is an atonement for sin, but why? Just time you got a new place, you got a galus, so now God forgives you. No. Mipnesha go remes lo lehachnea, because it causes you to be humble, to be low. Vilios ana v'shafal ruch. You know, when you take yourself out of your hometown, you go in the streets, you see your friends, people know you feel good about living where you live because you feel like you're at home. When you go into galus, nobody knows you and nobody talks to you and you have no association. All of a sudden you realize how important you really are. So well, how can we say, since we're not going into galus voluntarily, even to be mechaper avon, it's what we explain. Stay away from the situations where you find yourself attuned to sin. We should try, even when we stay at home, to be mechnia ourselves, to be an anav, to be a shafal ruach. So be'ezras Hashem, we should be zochet to have the kochos to somehow change. I know we didn't get to parasha, please forgive me, okay? To change, we tied it into re'eh and tzedakah. But we're ushering in Chodesh Elul. It's not too late. But Ezras Hashem, with proper teshuva, combined with tefillah, Hashem, the deer is always almost running in front of the kar chalila, and tzedakah, the kindness and the compassion for our fellow man, we should be zochet to a kesiva, v'chasima, tova, shana tova, muvarachas, all of Kal Yisrael, be'ezras Hashem. Is there any questions before I show off? Yes.
Not a question, just a comment. You know how I love dikduk and everything with making word issues. So when you say Mishana Shemo, and you don't look at it as changing his name.
Second name?
Mishana Hamakom Shehusham, the inner place where he has been, the bad place where he has been. He's actually changing his shum. He's changing the place where he is, and that's why he's becoming a new
Mishana
person.
Shmo, you're saying Mishana Shum. By changing the place where you are, you change a person you are. That's very nice, because by Bilam, when he's not successful in cursing the Jews, it says, Vayelech Balak, I can't look it up because it's on airplane mode, Vayashav Bilam, it says about Balak and Bilam, but they went back, Lemekomam, to their place. So what do you mean they went back to their place? I need to know where Balak and Bilam went. They went back to their rishos, which is exactly what happened, because then Bilam advises Balak how to get the Jews to sin. They went back to their place of negativity, but you're saying Mishana Shmo, Mishana Sham, change the place where you are. By doing that, you change who you are, change your negativity. Very nice. Anything else? What?
Mishana Mazel.
That's why. What are you actually changing? Your mazel. How are you changing your mazel? But changing who you are. You have a different mazel. Because remember, you're a different person. That gezeira was for that person, but I'm a new guy now, so I have a new chance. Very powerful. Anything else? Yes.
We learned shifty means to stop and all that. But doesn't it also mean shifty bevet Hashem, like bring us back to Hashem's place?
Return us, yes. Lashavas, the teshuvah means to return. Absolutely, yes.
Shifty?
Absolutely. Shav, return, means to return to Hashem, so that if you are far from Hashem, you would turn back to Him. Yes, definitely. Another aspect of teshuva is to return. Yes. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. It's a chodesh tov to everyone.
Chodesh
of bracha and yeshuos.